This is the August 26 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Scott Irwin, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois, Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities, he's in Hudsonville, Illinois, and Ted Seifert from Zahner Ag Hedge, he's in Chicago. One note, I talked with Ted and Sherman prior to the release of the national numbers. Scott Irwin was aware of those numbers as we had our conversation. However, I asked him to begin with just the state figures as they were coming out all week long from the crop scouts, and wanted to know what he made of them.
Well, to me, it matched a perception that I had been tracking for a while of a divergence between corn and soybean yield prospects. And that was, to me, a consistent theme when you looked at the state numbers. You know, generally disappointment, a lot of tip back, small ears, light ears on the corn side, but decent pod counts and just a general sense that there was a good prospects for soybean yields. And so that's an interesting divergence to me.
So can we talk just a little bit about what USDA does and does not do in the August and then again in the September report? Because in August, they do not go in and take actual counts, but they do in September. How has that worked the last couple of years?
Well, you know, honestly, I was disappointed and skeptical of that change in their methodology, but I have taken a careful look at their August forecast just recently, just to have that top of mind for me. And I can't see so far that it's really hurt their forecast accuracy relative to their historical performance. But again, there's only 3 years of data, so we have to be super careful about any conclusions. But that's what data we have, and I haven't seen yet anything that would make me really concerned.
Okay, so that brings up the question then, because today's national yield from the Pro Farmer Group, this is not tour yields, but the national massaged yield for the whole of the Corn Belt, is at 168.1 bushel the acre for the corn. That is way below what USDA currently has the number.
Yes, that's a shockingly low number. And if true, would completely change the corn balance sheet here in the U.S. and globally. So seven bushels would be, this is actually a little more than seven, just round figure, seven times eight. So it's someplace between 550 and 600 million bushels of lost production.
Which would drop us down into the 1 billion bushel range for ending stocks if nothing else changed.
Exactly. So, I mean, this is if it's right, it's truly a game changer.
Guess we'll have to wait for September for that, huh? Will the market believe this, do you suppose?
I don't think so completely. There's always divisions in the marketplace about how seriously to take the pro farmer numbers. And you hear a lot of the kind of pros in the market, you know, particularly from the big grain company, you know, kind of dismiss it entirely. And then you have some on the other hand that think that this is the number. I'm kind of right in the middle. I think there's information from it that it's worth paying attention to, but I think about it more directionally than the magnitude. So they're dropping from the USDA a little over seven bushels an acre on corn. I personally will not go that far. USDA is at 175. I think the data clearly now, I mean, I would be shocked in September if USDA does not come down off their 175.4 for corn. I really would be. The question now is, how low does the number ultimately go? It would be rare for the USDA to change their corn estimate that much in September. It would be, I just will be shocked. So, but I will not be at all surprised by a corn number between, say, 171 and 173 now in September.
Pro Farmer has a 51.7 bushel to the acre yield for soybean this week. USDA is currently at 51.9. Will they raise it?
I don't think so. I think we're, you know, that's a high yield historically. And, you know, soybeans also went through the same difficult growing conditions over a wide area of the Corn Belt this summer that corn did and is causing, you know, clearly a fairly big dent below trend yields. And we're getting, you know, some really advantageous weather here at the end of the growing season. And so I think that's what the optimism is about. But I'm not willing to go above where USDA was in August on soybeans yet.
Scott Irwin is an agricultural economist at the University of Illinois. Just to recap the numbers from Pro Farmer, the national average yield for corn at 168.1 bushels to the acre for a total production of 13.759 billion bushels. For soybean, Pro Farmer is at 51.7 bushels to the acre and 4.535 billion bushels in total production. Sherman Newland now joins us from the road. Hi, Sherman. Thank you for being with us. We're recording in the 10 o'clock hour on Friday morning. You finished up the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. You were on the Western Leg. Where are you at the moment, by the way?
Between Rochester and Chicago, heading back home. So
on a great fun stretch of the interstate there.
not stopping taking any more samples.
That's right, that part of the interstate is always busy. I've traveled it many times. So tell me about what you think you found across the Western Corn Belt.
A lot of them was pretty obvious. The that southeast corner of South Dakota is definitely hurt. The question is, can the northeast side of South Dakota help pull up their average? You know what I mean? And they do have some decent yields in areas of South Dakota. Don't get me wrong. And like I said, we went up in North Dakota, which is not part of the tour, but nobody seems to want to talk about North Dakota. I mean, they're a pretty good player in the bean market. Production-wise, you know, and they're going to have a crop up there as long as they can continue to get some rain and some warm weather. So let's not discount that either. But then as you go, going to Nebraska, it definitely gets a lot worse in that northeast corner, especially on the dry land. The yields down there were really bad in the 50s and 60s, quite a lot. A lot of blanks on some of the stops as well. And they have some irrigation through there as well, and it was okay. But not what it should be. Just too hot, too dry at the wrong time for that area, and it's continued to stay that way. So, but quite a bit of Nebraska is irrigated, right? So we don't want to forget that as well, when it comes to looking at all the numbers when it's all said and done. So there is, there are problems in that Nebraska area. And I know as you go farther west in Nebraska and Kansas, that's really bad as well. Kansas is not a big player in the numbers when, they will not have a much of a crop to add to the total though. So that will make a difference, as well, when they have to start figuring national numbers. But, we got in, once we got the third day going up through Iowa, I thought it was ho-hum, nothing stood out to me one way or the other. It was what I expected in that part of Iowa. Now, we missed the southwest part of Iowa where they have a lot more drought, I think, as well. So I can't say for sure I didn't see that area. But what I saw, on my side, on our tour, which is the exact same route as we took last year, so I have some comparisons. It wasn't bad. It wasn't, actually the pod count was just a little bit higher. That side of Iowa, I know on that leg of the trip, our car average, though, was 14 bushels less than it was the year before. But again, I didn't see anything that said, oh, wow, that's going to be, really bad. Or, oh, the other way, oh, wow, that's going to be really good. So I would say what we saw was just around average in Iowa.
Were you in Crop Reporting District 4, which is that West Central Crop Reporting District, sort of the Omaha, Sioux City, Sioux Falls district?
No. I don't believe I was anyway.
Yeah. So I asked because if memory serves me correctly, that is the largest CRD production district. So more corn comes out of that district than any other place in Iowa, which surprises me. But between it.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Between it, the Southwest District, all the way across the bottom kind of Iowa, and right, you know, if Route 20 going across to yes. Ames, those didn't look very good in the numbers that came out from Iowa.
Right.
However, when you talk, and I know you have some clientele there, and we're talking yes. to customers in the northeastern side of Iowa,
yeah.
does it balance itself out, or does Iowa come out low?
Well, you know, when the numbers came out last night from the tour with Iowa down what it was, I guess I was a little surprised it was down that much, because I do know that eastern side from the fellows I talked to in that area is going to have some tremendous, you know, production, you know, upper 250s to maybe even 300s in there. So apparently, you know, after looking at those numbers, Iowa, you know, probably does need to be reduced a little bit as far as their yield goes for the entire state.
So you've got Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois at, what, trend or better, I suppose, or something like that, right?
Right. Yeah.
And then parts of, I'm going to guess, Iowa and southern Minnesota, way above trend. Minnesota's numbers
yeah.
were huge, by the way.
Yeah. Minnesota corn is beautiful.
So how does a farmer take that? And you've not yet seen the numbers from
right.
from the tour, but how does a farmer take all of this into account?
Well, I mean, we've seen the market run up, right? You know, during this week, which we typically don't see during Pro Farmer Tour Week. It usually seems to want to go on the other way down. We've had a good little bounce. I mean, we're up again today, it looks like. I think you have to take the numbers, you know, you have to respect them a little bit, but Chris Hawthorne from Mass was on the tour, and I talked quite a bit with him and, you know, learned quite a bit as well. They will take these numbers, but they don't really consider them when they come up with their data, right? Okay. So if you're a farmer out here and you see a Pro Farmer number, if it's bullish today, you know, and you get a market reaction to it, don't be surprised when Mass comes out with their numbers in September that they're not as high or low. I'm sorry. You know, the Mass numbers are still going to be on the higher side, in my estimation, because they look at a lot more things, you know, a lot more states as well. So I think there's some, you know, upside here, and we're getting it. If I was a farmer right now and needed to make some sales, I would be looking to reward this market, you know. And if you think we're going on up, hey, buy some call options. But, you know, like I said, I've been driving around quite a bit the last 8 days from southern Illinois to North Dakota, and I haven't seen anything other than when we were in that South Dakota part and Nebraska part that made me think, oh, wow, you know, we're going to have a big shortfall coming.
Yeah, and it's the southeastern corner of South Dakota, which is usually the better corner.
It is.
But that's not the case this year, clearly.
Right.
As you drove to North Dakota and probably know, and then we're coming out of that state through parts of South Dakota. And then Nebraska, as you mentioned, is irrigated, or a large part of it. It is the number three corn-producing state in the nation. So a lot of weight, I suppose, needs to be given to that.
Right.
And those Minnesota numbers, holy smokes. And you drove the route that was coming out of the western side of Minnesota. Was that impressive as well?
Yes.
Because that says a whole lot if it was.
Yeah, it was. It really was. All our first stops, everything was over 200. I mean, we started sampling right as we got into Minnesota, straight up north of Spencer, okay? And everything was solid. I mean, the corn looked good. The population was there. The stands were even. You know, the weeds or the fields were clean, unlike what we saw a lot in Iowa. I mean, it was surprising. A lot of cornfields in Iowa had a lot of weeds in it. Same way in Nebraska, you know, so that doesn't help anything. yeah, that Minnesota crop, I mean, you just walk into a field, you know it's solid. From all the years I've been, I mean, my entire life, been looking at corn. You know, we just happened to pull on our very last sample up to a field that was on some sandier soil, and it was low. So it brought the car average down. I mean, I think it was like 128 or something like that. And, you know, but everything else was just good, you know, that we saw. And I've got friends on the east side of Minnesota and the southeast side around Albert Lea. And, you know, he's going to have maybe a record crop, corn and beans both. So, you know, so Minnesota's going to be pretty good. They're definitely going to add to the pile this year.
You know, my daughter drove from St. Louis to, well, Albert Lea and St. Paul, and she made note that there were an awful lot of weeds on that route as well. So you were be going up kind of the gut of Iowa. Mm-hmm. Were there enough weeds in the fields that they have maybe a potential yield impact?
I think a little bit in the corn, and same way in Nebraska. Nebraska had weedier beans to me. I mean, we pulled up to one field of beans, and they were like, oh, crap, guys, this is not good. But the beans in Iowa were cleaner. But we still, like I said, we walked into some corn fields and like, man, guys, this is weedy mess.
Was it water hemp?
Yeah. Water hemp, lamb's quarter mostly seemed like what we were seeing, you know, whether the chemicals just failed because of weather or just what the situation was, I don't know. But, yeah, it did seem like it was worse in Nebraska to me, though, as far as the weeds go for corn and beans both.
Any final thought as I let you go?
Yeah, I mean, guys, we're seeing a good rally in the markets. You know, we'll see what the numbers say from Pro Farmer. If they're bullish, I would use this as an opportunity to get some more sales made.
That was Sherman Newland with Risk Management Commodities. He was in the car riding through the tour with Ted Seifert. He's with Zahner Ag Hedge and now joins us. Hi, Ted. Thank you very much. So the two of you saw a lot of the same areas, and we went through much of that with Sherman. But I do want to get a good feel for what you're thinking happened on the tour, what you saw on the tour. And I know you talked with Chip Flory a little bit, too, about how he views all the numbers. And Chip's the one who's going to do a lot of the crunching to put those numbers together for the national yield from Pro Farmer, along with Brian Grady. So kind of give me your overview.
Yeah. And you know, to go back to, you know, being in the car with Sherman, we get along really well. That's a lot of fun. The really nice thing about it, though, is that we're one of the few cars that stays together throughout the tour. And we're one of the few cars that runs the same routes that we've run in years previous. So we actually get to really compare apples to apples rather than, you know, a lot of the other cars are just they're out there to scout and they get an overall view of things, but they're not really stopping in or near the same fields that they literally saw the year before. And for me, I feel like that's rather handy and can provide kind of a little bit extra insight into some of these things. And I got to say, you know, I'm sure Sherman said the same thing because, you know, we've talked about it all week. We were pretty surprised at what we were seeing and how bad it was. You know, a lot of these things from the road looked terrible, but there were a lot of fields that from the road didn't look bad. But then you get in and, oh, boy, this is really not good. And so you wonder when we see crop progress and when you see farmer surveys that go to the USDA or NASS, and that's part of a big part of how they've been calculating yields up to this point. You wonder if there's some things that are being overreported. And honestly, in talking to the USDA NASS guys for both the corn and the soybeans, they're wondering the same thing. So, yeah, you know, the market really took to that idea that, you know, the numbers that were produced from the Pro Farmer Tour were surprisingly lower in South Dakota and Nebraska than what we saw last year. I think the expectations were for those areas to be down, but not, you know, 27% in South Dakota. Wow, that's a big thing. So, yeah, market has been rather strong based on that. And it's happening at a time where you've got a major heat wave and drought concerns happening over in China. You've got Europe on top of that. And then China's coming in and buying, which, you know, I think all these things, Todd, are really kind of tied together. You know, China usually buys when they feel motivated to buy. I think we're giving them motivation this week and a lot of different fronts. So, you know, there's just been a lot of supply concern this week. And then you throw some China demand on top of that. And it's been a bit of a powder keg. Now, the question really is, how do the pro-farmer numbers translate into a national average yield? And how does it translate into what those guys are going to sit down and do and put these numbers together and then put their interpretation on it? Because there is an interpretation that needs to happen. We do not go through every field in every county aside from Iowa. We get Iowa really good. But like South Dakota, we only hit about 13% of the growing area. South Dakota, we want to take a quick look at, but then we really want to spend more time in Nebraska. Traditionally, they're a bigger producer, so on and so forth. But then when you think about South Dakota, you think, well, if I look at the drought monitor this year versus last year, the areas that we were running through this year are really very strongly impacted by drought. Whereas if you look at the northeast corner of South Dakota, if you look at central, almost all of central, but maybe a little bit more towards the north portion of South Dakota, they're not even showing up on the drought monitor. There are much better crops in South Dakota than what the crop tour saw. So I'm going to tell you, Todd, South Dakota is not going to be 27% off of last year's statewide average yield. It's not. But that's what the tour said. And I know those guys, I know the pro farmer guys know that. I don't know if the market knows that. You know, I mean, it's markets see numbers and they want to compare apples to apples, but it's not. You know, the pro farmer tour numbers that we're producing on a nightly basis are not an apples to apples versus the USDA, for example. And again, Chip and company will put that together and they'll spend their interpretation on it. But the market kind of has a tendency to just see a number and want it to be, oh, that's the statewide number. Well, no, it's not. So we've found a lot of strength. And, you know, whether we carry on with it or not, I'm not sure. Personally, while I was very surprised at what we were seeing in Nebraska in particular, I don't think it's as big of a difference in yield than what the USDA is currently saying. I'm not thinking we're going to see a 10 bushel an acre drop. I'm not thinking we're going to see a 6 to 8 bushel an acre drop. Somewhere between 2 and 4, maybe 5 or 6 at the most is kind of where I'm at this moment. Which is impactful, right? I mean, we have a tight enough balance sheet that would really turn some heads. But you really have to wonder also, you know, after being at these high prices that we've been at for so long, at what point do we really start to see some demand destruction, especially if we're having inflation cooling off? Because inflation, while it allows for high prices and it allows for high prices to continue without seeing that demand destruction, because the products that we make with these raw inputs, you know, the soybean meal that we use to feed, the corn we use to feed, the corn we use for ethanol, all those things, the animals and the ethanol, as long as those prices are high, we're fine and well and good and willing to pay the high price inputs. But as soon as those prices start coming down, well, then you can't pay the high price inputs anymore. So I'm really struggling to balance the idea of a smaller crop, specifically or especially in corn, versus the potential for demand to lighten up at some point, I think, in the relatively near future. The thing that I continue to wrestle with there, too, though, is that it's not just us with the supply problem. So, you know, it could be one of the things where if inflation does continue to come down, which I think it will, we don't have the same type of stimulus that we were seeing before, where we're just sending out checks. Yes, we're talking about student loan relief, the anti-inflationary moves and things like that. There is still stimulus going on, but not to the magnitude that it had been before. So to me, that means that inflation should cool off to some extent. But the grains could kind of be the exception to that for a while because of the supply issues that we're having. But I do think that this is a year where in the last 10, really since 2012, you have a tremendous amount of risk on either side of the market. It may be $3 in either direction. And that is because of you're trying to play the macroeconomic side of, you know, global economy, inflation, and so on and so forth, versus a short supply situation that you have in the U.S. and also the entirety of the world right now.
You did have some conversations about Chip Flory. His back door is really, really good in that part of Iowa. How do you think he was considering massaging these numbers?
Yeah, you know, he was very surprised at what we saw, as we all were, but he was very surprised at that. And I think that initial shock really had him questioning things and wondering if there should be a very dramatic drop in the yield. But I think as the days went on and just kind of picking his brain at the end of the night, at the end of the day, every day, I think he's tempering that a bit. But I can tell you that I think he's certainly leaning lower. It's just a question of how much. But again, I think if you'd asked him after day one to do the numbers right there, it would have been a much more dramatic drop than what I think we'll ultimately see from them when we see their final numbers.
You are taping Market to Market on Friday afternoon. You will have the numbers in hand by the time you finish that show up. It should be interesting to watch over the weekend. Thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure, Todd. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Ted Seifert is with Zahner Ag Hedge in Chicago. We'll join the market-to-market discussion Friday afternoon. You can find that on public television stations over the weekend across the nation and on our home station, WILL-TV, Channel 12, 11:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. His discussion at that point will include the pro farmer national numbers of 168.1 bushels to the acre for corn and 51.7 bushels to the acre for soybean. Ted joined us on our Commodity Week program along with guest Scott Irwin, agricultural economist from the University of Illinois, and Sherman Newland from Risk Management Commodities. He's in Hudsonville, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.